Tommy James, WRJN Local News, and Timeless Hits. Hey, you ever go for a job interview and you say, oh, I did so bad at that job interview? You probably didn't do as bad as these people did. Listen to this. According to the bosses, here are some of the worst job interviews. One person showed up late, took the clock off the wall, and turned the clock back so they didn't look late. A woman brought her mom in to sit in on the job interview. And this guy interviewed at Nike wearing Adidas sneakers. That's like applying for a job here at WRJN and wearing a T-shirt from our competition. You don't do that kind of stuff. 7 o'clock on the noggin here at WRJN. It's sunny, 60 degrees here at Radio Park. His Honor, the mayor of Racine, coming in just a moment. Stay where you are.
Local news and timeless hits. WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A U.S. envoy traveled to Lebanon today to push for a Gaza ceasefire agreement. But Hamas has already said it will not join talks when they resume tomorrow over the recent assassinations of two top leaders. Correspondent Cammie McCormick has our top story.
Amos Hochstein warned the clock is ticking.
There is no more time to waste, and there's no more valid excuses from any party for any further delay.
In Beirut, he said the ceasefire negotiations between Hamas and Israel could prevent a widening war.
We know it's urgent because the hostilities between Hezbollah and Israel have only escalated.
Hundreds of thousands of people in Puerto Rico have no power this morning as Tropical Storm Ernesto pounds the island with torrential rain and powerful winds. The system is expected to pack an even bigger punch when it heads toward Bermuda. Jamie Rome at the National Hurricane Center.
As Ernesto pulls out into the open waters of the Western Atlantic, it will strengthen significantly, potentially becoming a powerful hurricane.
The governor of Russia's Kursk region has declared a state of emergency as Ukrainian forces capture more Russian territory. The BBC's Will Vernon.
The Ukrainians say that they've now seized over 70 towns and villages. Russia is saying that they've stopped the Ukrainian advance and that the Ukrainians will be kicked out of the area.
Congressional progressive Ilhan Omar has won the Democratic primary in Minnesota.
I am honored to represent the people who welcomed me and my family as refugees to this incredible state.
Two other members of the group, nicknamed the Squad, lost recent races to candidates backed by pro-Israel groups. Police in North Carolina are searching for a convicted murderer who got away during a ride from prison to a hospital. WNCN-TV's Dina Harley is in Orange County.
We know that yesterday when he was being transported, there were two officers with him. So we asked the sheriff's office if that is normal protocol for something like this, if there's typically more officers. But they told us everything yesterday was standard. The transport was standard. Everything went as it was supposed to go, of course, until that escape.
Police in New Zealand trying to recover chunks of methamphetamine disguised as candy and accidentally handed out by a local charity. Auckland City Detective Inspector Glenn Baldwin.
It is vital they are taken out of circulation as soon as possible. We are aware of three people that have sought medical assistance as a result. None are currently in hospital.
The fake candies were individually wrapped and branded as pineapple-flavored treats from the Malaysian brand Rinda. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A $68 million project for the King Center in Racine has gotten the green light from a city committee. This week, the Finance and Personnel Committee approved the project for the Lincoln King neighborhood. The development will feature a modern community center, health facilities, and outdoor recreational spaces. Construction could start later this year. Ben DeSmid secured a decisive victory in the Democratic primary for Wisconsin's 65th Assembly District. He beat Kyle Flood. The Kenosha seat became open after longtime incumbent Todd Onstad announced he wouldn't seek re-election after serving for 12 years. DeSmid will now face Republican Brian Gonzalez in the November general election. A 60-year-old Racine man faces multiple felony charges for allegedly selling fentanyl-laced crack to a confidential informant. The transactions involving Christopher Mayfield reportedly took place in June at a home on May Street. He's in court tomorrow. And for the sixth year straight, Gateway is getting money from Metallica. The Technical College has again secured the Metallica All Within My Hands scholarship. The $5,000 grant will aid students in the advanced manufacturing program, giving them skills needed for the growing workforce demand in automation and robotics. A statement says the initiative has led to many students finding employment with prominent industry partners. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WRJN.com.
Game 3 of the Brewers and Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers hoping to snap a 3-game losing streak tonight when they host the LA Dodgers again. The Dodgers winning last night 7-2. They hit 4 home runs, including one for second baseman Gavin Lux, who was drafted by the Dodgers back in 2016 out of Indian Trail High School in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Shohei Ohtani hit his 37th homer of the year. That's the most in the National League. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers back in Madison after breaking camp during a 2-week stay in Platteville. NFL, Packers getting ready to take on the Broncos in Denver Friday in a joint practice session. Quarterback Jordan Love.
No, I think it's good. Like I said, just be able to see somebody new, practice against a new team, and kind of that practice atmosphere where you get to see a lot more, and then you get to go back and break it down the film. So it's good to just be able to see new looks. You know, we've been going against our defense every day, so just be able to get a new feel on defense is always good.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
WRJN Sports with Mike Clemens is sponsored hourly by Potawatomi Hotel Casino. Learn more online at paysbig.com.
Partly cloudy today, becoming mostly cloudy by late this afternoon. Our high right around 80 today. The wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms late, 67. Tomorrow night, rain and thunderstorms likely. Rain could be heavy with an inch or more possible. Our high tomorrow, 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
A simple day used to be like take a girl out to the movies, right? That used to be perfect because you're like, oh, that's not expensive. But have you been to the movies lately, though? Have y'all been to the 950 a pop in New York City? 950, that's 19. $19. Ladies, let me explain. If I spend $19 on a first date, that ain't a first date no more. That is a committed relationship. See, I love you. I love you. Shoot, second date, I'm asking you to marry. But movies, you should not have to APR finance tickets to get in the movie. And then, you know, women, y'all like to cuddle. And my girl, she likes to cuddle and talk and kiss. And her. At $19 a pop, we paying attention to everything that's happening on that screen. There ain't no interruptions. Every time she like, give me a kiss, I'm grabbing her head. Girl, watch the movie. Pay, watch the movie. You know what? Get your number 2 pencil out, because I'm going to quiz you when this movie's over.
All right, 7:08 at WRJN Local News, Timeless Hits, and I've got his honor, the Racine Mayor, Corey Mason, is here. Hi. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Now, before we get to all the stuff we have to talk about here this morning, you're from Racine originally.
Yeah, yeah.
Born and bred here.
Fifth generation.
And you said it was before your time, but next week I've got Carol Gianforte and Jim Messier coming in to talk about Kittyland.
Yeah, she's a great local historian. And, you know, she writes about some of the stuff that was here in the 50s and 60s and 70s and what it was like for her growing up on Carlisle. And she's just, she's such a good storyteller, right? And just for people who grew up, really my parents' generation, in that time, she just transports people back, right? And so, you know, she'll do these presentations about Kittyland or growing up on Carlisle or some of these other things that were once Racine institutions, and people just love it. They just, you know, the nostalgia for some of those things that were once here is just really, really powerful. But she's a great storyteller. She does a great job.
And I'm reading her book right now. Actually, my wife is reading it to me. I love when my wife reads. I lay in bed and she reads it. My wife just knows. She should be doing books on tape, on audio.
Yeah.
I told her, because you read it so well.
Oh, that's great.
And I like when people read stuff to me because I can
process it.
Yeah, I can. Well, my mind can process the words. But yeah, I can paint the picture in my head better when somebody reads to me. And we're reading this book about growing up on Carlisle Avenue and all the sites here.
Yeah.
Last time they were in here, they were talking about the Washington Park pool.
Yeah.
And the mayor of Racine, I guess back in the 30s, okayed a couple of, it wasn't a lot of money, But we did the translation into today's dollars, and it was $1.5 million. So that's what it felt like back then when they put $100,000 or whatever into it. And they built this pool in Washington Park, and it was a beautiful pool. It had a thing in the middle people can sit on.
Like,
and
it was like a jungle gym you could kind of climb.
Yeah, and then they had a diving board with people that were jumping on who were swimming underneath the diving board. They had this giant building where you went through, and they had to limit people there because you can't overstock the pool with people.
Right.
And you would get online, and when somebody left, you were able to go in. She said her friend was the official toe checker. Could you imagine having that job at a pool? That's disgusting.
That'd be something.
They were checking toes for fungus.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. What a job. I don't think I'd want that job, even for the summer. She said she didn't mind it. It was a good friend of hers, being the toe checker at a pool.
Yeah.
Aren't you putting that on your resume?
No, but it was a much loved space. And, you know, if you go to Tyler Domer Community Center now, they still have some pictures up of what that pool was like. And if you go into the basement of Tyler Domer, you can still see all the mechanicals for the pool.
Are
still under the building there. And the reason, you know, they've got the tennis court they built over it. They'll never be able to build on it unless they were completely to remove all that subterranean infrastructure.
Well, they built the tennis court, and then it sunk a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you're building it on a hole.
Right.
What do you think was going to happen?
Right.
Now, what'd you call the building? I didn't know what the name of it was.
The Tyler Domer Community Center. So it's that community center, that sort of Art Deco building right across the parking lot from Park High School.
Yeah.
That's the Tyler Domer Community Center.
And that was where the people used to go through to get to the pool. The building's still there intact.
Yeah. It's still got a gym. People still come and...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of our five community centers. It still has programming. People still use it every day.
Now, I didn't grow up here, but I heard their presentation. I looked at the pictures online and the pictures they used. And I felt terrible. We parked in the parking lot staring at it, my wife and I. And there's, I guess they grew a garden over it at one time. Now it's just overgrown with vegetation. Yeah. The tennis court is still there, probably not used. And I kept thinking the thousands and thousands of people that went through there to go to the pool.
Yeah.
And now it's just overgrown history. And I felt terrible about it. Even though I didn't grow up here, I felt terrible looking at it. And what made it worse is he used to say, well, we went to the A&W stand. Now, that building is still there.
It is.
But it's all dilapidated.
It is. It is. And there's a pretty big empty lot around it. You know, it's a potential redevelopment site there. The city doesn't own it. It's privately held. But, you'd like to think that could be turned into something, some housing or something else, just to move it along. But, that old A&W. So you'd hear people talk about what it was like in the 50s or 60s.
I get teary-eyed.
To go to the A&W and then, go to the pool and be able to do some of those things. Some of those things, they don't last forever, but you can talk about then what's next? I mean, what do we have for the next generation of kids to be able to have a great space to be able to be there with their family? And the other thing I'll just say about pools is, for whatever reason, pools have been leaving Racine, right? I mean, so you've got the Y that's now closed. You've got the high schools that are going to close their pools eventually. And, pretty quickly here, we're not going to have a pool left in the city. And so we're going to need to think about that moving forward. But Kittyland was just, it was one of those WPA projects in the 1930s where the city latched onto that as a project that they could fund and get going. And for the 30 some years that it was there, people really loved it.
And the family that ran it, the father ran the little train that went around Kittyland. Little tiny train.
Yeah.
His 10-year-old daughter ran the Ferris wheel. Can you imagine back in the 50s, a 10-year-old is running the Ferris wheel? I mean, you couldn't get away with that today.
No.
She was at the presentation at the Golden Rondelle.
Oh, great.
She's obviously a grown-up woman now.
Yeah.
But she was talking about her parents put her in charge of the Ferris wheel. 10 years old!
Yeah.
I wouldn't let a 10-year-old walk across the street.
Yeah.
And she was running the Ferris wheel. And I looked at the pictures, and it's a hustling, bustling amusement park right there.
Yeah.
You go there today, it's just grass.
Yeah.
And I was looking for the sign because Jim Messier said there's a sign there talking about Kittyland and where it used to be. So my wife and I pulled up, and somebody was having a big family picnic. It's by the boat launch into the Root River. And all of a sudden, they all turned around and started staring at us. Let's get out of here. We'll come back tomorrow.
Right.
And we went back, and there's the sign commemorating. This is the site of Kittyland. And I got teary-eyed.
Yeah.
I'm just an old mush when I see this because it's gone. It's somebody's past where they grew up.
Well,
all their memories are right here.
And it's somebody's gone. And it's a place, whether it's that the pool over by Tyler Domer and Park High School or whether it's the Kittyland, it wasn't just one person's memory, right? It's community memory there, right? And I think when Carol writes about these places so lovingly, I think part of the reason it resonates so well is there's, you know, there's, like I said, you know, from the boomers and a little bit older, there's a whole generation of people who remember these public spaces that were much loved and much enjoyed. So it's a great testament to some of the things that were once here and being able to celebrate those things. And, you know, what I hope is then just inspire people to think about, well, why don't we have some things like that we build today?
That's what I was going to ask you. What is gone that you grew up with in Racine?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, so I grew up sort of on Westlawn Avenue between Pierce Woods and Durand Avenue. So, I mean, that was like Elmwood Plaza's heyday, right? I mean, that was when it was really bustling and the JCPenney was there and, you know, it's the bowling alleys that were there and those kind of things that were there. And certainly, you know, it's exciting to see what's happening with Regency Mall in terms of them taking it down, a good chunk of it, and putting in the Woodman's. But I'm of a generation that grew up in the mall, right?
Yeah.
You know, I had four jobs in high school.
You know what they used to call you people? Mall rats.
Yeah,
you know,
it was a great movie about that, the whole mall culture, mall rats. Right? It's like the Kevin Smith film, right? But yeah, I mean, you know, it was a thing that you would do if you were in the 80s or early 90s. Growing up, like, where, you know, people didn't have phones, they weren't talking to each other online with social media. If you wanted to go see your friends, you'd go to the mall, and it was a great community space. And you know, it'll be something different and something new when they put in the Woodman's and put in some housing where the movie theater used to be. But that's the other thing we don't have anymore. You know, we used to have movie theaters in the city of Racine. Some of them, you know, great ornate ones, but some of them even the newer ones. We used to have, you know, Westgate and the Marcus Cinema behind Regency Mall there, those are gone as well. So, you know, there's things like that that aren't here anymore that, you know, you'd like to figure out how to bring those things back.
We're talking about happier topics. Yeah. I'm getting all teary-eyed here. Yeah. And I didn't even grow up here. I'm getting teary-eyed. His Honor, Racine Mayor Corey Mason is here. We'll be talking more about topical things in just a moment here at WRGN. Local news and timeless hits.
Our southern border is in chaos, with drugs and criminals flowing into our country. But sanctuary cities protect illegal immigrants who commit crimes from being deported. Like an illegal immigrant arrested for battery in Madison. He should have been deported. Instead, he was released back into the community and went on to assault several more women, including a 13-year-old girl. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted 9 times to support federal funding for sanctuary cities that refuse to cooperate with immigration officials and release these dangerous criminals back onto our streets. And Senator Baldwin voted for amnesty for 11 million illegals, including convicted criminals. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-1068, the Stop Dangerous Sanctuary Cities Act. Stop protecting illegal immigrants and start protecting Wisconsin. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
Get ready for the winning team of selection, service, convenience, and savings at Studebaker's Fuel and Food in Racine. During this sweltering summer, cool down with an ice-cold deal. 10-pound bags of ice for just 99 cents. Keep your refreshing beverages cool while you're out and about. Whether you step into the store or slide through the convenient drive-thru, Studebaker's great selection is the fuel to keep you going. Fast meets fantastic at Studebaker's Fuel and Food, located at 31 and Spring in Racine.
Hungry for the freshest and most delicious sandwiches? Lee's Deli has you covered. Serving Racine for over 50 years, every bite is delightful. Hot ham and cheese, Reuben, meatball sub, turkey and cheese. Lee's Deli will leave you not just full, but fully satisfied. Check out the brand new online ordering system at leesdeliracine.com for pickup and delivery options. Also, stop in the shop on Washington Avenue for the new Lee's Loyalty Program. Start reaping the tasty rewards at Lee's Deli in Racine, open 7 days a week.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day, 50% savings at the Peach Cobbler Factory in Kenosha. We forget to hit the pause button in the hustle of daily life. Slow down for a sweet treat, mouth-watering cobbler crowned with luscious vanilla bean ice cream. Or shake up your taste buds with a pudding shake. Or indulge in freshly baked cookies, brownies, and cinnamon rolls. Go to WRJN.com, click on the Big Deals tab, purchase $10 gift certificates for just $5 today only at WRJN Big Deals.
you're looking for the talk show lineup from Civic Media, you can still find it on air and online. The entire statewide Civic Media schedule can be heard clearly on AM 540 WAUK or on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram, 8 till 10. Jay Matinair, 10 to noon. Todd Alba, noon till 2. Maggie Dawn, 2 until 4. And the Devil's Advocates from 4 until 6 weekdays. Here on WRJN, we've refreshed our commitment to local news and features and answered your calls to bring back the timeless hits. WRJN on AM and FM, 99.9 and 98.1 FM, and as always on the historic 1400 AM. Local news, timeless hits.
WRJN.
Receive Mayor Corey Mason is here. We were reminiscing. I got all misty-eyed, bro. I don't know why I do that to myself, but I do it. And we've got some things to talk about here, like the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Community Center and Health Clinic.
Yeah.
Something happened the other day.
Right.
Big money.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got the opportunity, in no small part, thanks to the federal funds that have been made available by President Biden and Congress and the work that they've done there. But, you know, we get these dollars coming out of COVID, and it's like, well, what can you do to make a lasting improvement in the neighborhood? And so part of it was we used emergency funds to help keep people in the homes and keep businesses running. But we're using a good bit of it to actually build a new community center right next to Julian Thomas School there on Martin Luther King Drive. And so we were talking about things that used to be here just in the previous segment. And this is something new. This will be the first community center we'll have built in just about 50 years, but it'll give people a brand new community center and, as importantly, a community health clinic, which will be eligible for people regardless of income and give people a chance to get some much-needed health care. We've got some disparities that exist, and those COVID dollars are really meant to address some of the shortcomings that exist in terms of people's access to health care. So people will be able to not only go to a great new community center right next to Julian Thomas School, but they'll be able to get their health care needs addressed too. So we're very excited about it. It passed unanimously through the Finance Committee this week and is before the full council on Tuesday night. And if it moves forward, we'll break ground on it this fall.
I hate to keep bringing up old stuff, but when I was a kid, I remember when I went to the doctor, it was $4. To go see a doctor. Yes. You didn't use health insurance. Just pay $4. Yeah. And I remember my mother took me to the doctor one day. And we walked in and women were screaming at the receptionist. They raised the price to $6.
Yeah.
And they were screaming at her. And she was trying to say, well, we had to do it because things are more expensive. We had to do it because... And she's trying to explain rationally to people that are irrational. Well, yeah. They had to pay the extra $6 we were griping about. You can't see the doctor now for under $100.
Yeah, well, if we open this clinic, you'll be able to go see a doctor for $30. I mean, that's what the cost would be. It's heavily subsidized through federal grants. And if you're able to do that, and, you know, in terms of the need of it, I mean, we have nearly 24,000 people who live in this community who don't have private insurance, right? So to be able to have a space where people could go if they get sick or their kids get sick and be able to see a doctor to get not just medical care, but mental health care, it would really make a big difference. So it's not only just a great space for people to come and do community events and play basketball and, you know, and have a community kitchen and a place to gather like we do in the community centers now, but it'll create much needed health care space for, like I said, you know, tens of thousands of people who live in this community who don't have private insurance. And we really want people to establish a relationship with a doctor. We have much better health outcomes, whether it's around infant mortality or addressing, you know, cancer or heart disease or some of these other things. If people get a relationship with a doctor or medical professional, they are far more likely to catch those things earlier on and live better and healthier lives. So we're really excited about what it means. Again, it's great to talk about the things that were here, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago.
Here's what's here now.
And it's great to preserve some of the things, like some of the things we've done with the old Horlick factory buildings on Northwestern.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Those were factories. Yeah. Now they're going to be reimagined and turned into...
There's a restaurant in there now.
There's a coffee shop in
coffee
there now.
Coffee shop, yeah.
And
shop.
Hopefully soon to be a restaurant, but there's apartments, and so it's got a new life to it. So part of it is historic preservations for the things that you can preserve, which we're really excited about. But then sometimes it means building something new, right? And so to be able to build something new like that, right, like I said, right next to Julian Thomas School and create access for those school kids, their families, and the broader community to have access to a safe place to do after-school programming and get their healthcare needs addressed, we're really excited about it. So my hope is someday, decades from now, people will be like, remember when they built that new King Center in the 2020s and got that together? Wasn't that great?
It was so old-fashioned compared to what we have today.
Right.
Look at this beautiful new one. It cost $300 million.
Right.
In their dollars.
Yeah. Price tag on this is $68 million. Yeah. I should say we've raised $60 million in funds that are here now or will be reimbursed once it's finished. So it's a pretty substantial amount of resources we've been able to bring in from grant funding to private contributions, federal funds. And I will say it'll be the community's first net zero building in terms of its energy efficiency. We're able to do that because of the Inflation Reduction Act. There's now these energy tax credits that are available. So if you build an energy efficient building, the government will give you tax credits back to help pay for all that. That also means that taxpayers should never have to pay for an electric bill on this new building. So it's a pretty great project. We're excited.
Progress.
Yeah, we're excited about it. It'll be the first new building we've built, we think, in 38 years. So, we're due to do something new here.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
We got a lot to talk about, including five new businesses opened in downtown. Yeah. You were there at one of the ribbon cutting
ceremonies.
For
two of them, yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about that in just a moment here. The mayor, His Honor, Corey Mason here, and we're talking about what's going on in the city, some new innovative things happening, where your tax dollars are going. I think you'll be happy. But right now it's time for Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story on WRJN. To learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular shows ever to air on WRJN, call us during business hours at 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. It could be one of four category exclusive businesses to sponsor Paul Harvey's Rest of the Story. That's coming up right now here at WRJN.
The Rest of the Story. Ethel had had enough. Her marriage was over. 35 years wedded to a workaholic salesman, a schemer dreamer whose wild ideas kept plunging the family deeper and deeper in debt. That was at least one year too many. Now, just as things were beginning to stabilize, along comes another dream and another deep debt, so Ethel had had enough. By the way, I guess you should meet Ethel's husband, Raymond, otherwise known to his business associates as Mr. Multimixer. His tribulations comprised the rest of the story. It was a mixing machine, that's all it was, a dairy product mixing machine for restaurants and soda fountains, but at $150 a unit, it sold pretty well. Raymond and another fellow owned that business outright. Actually, Raymond was the only one actively involved. Back in the late 30s, armed with a big sample case and an impressive handshake, he haunted dairy association conventions and dining establishments across the nation. He gave everything he had to it, really. He'd work a convention for 14 hours and then entertain prospective customers until 3 in the morning, only to rise at dawn, ready to collar the next client. So now it's 1954, and Raymond is 52. He's a battle-scarred veteran of the business wars. By now, he has diabetes and incipient arthritis, half of his thyroid gland, and no gallbladder at all. So he goes to wife Ethel and says, "Hey, I've just signed this deal." Well, she'd heard that song before. "Another big debt?" she asked. And the answer was yes. And Ethel was stunned. During the early years of the marriage, she'd patiently watched and waited as Raymond grabbed for brass ring after brass ring, and the ups were always followed by downs, like the time her husband was forced to buy out his multi-mixer business partner for $68,000 when the family was already $100,000 in debt. "We'll take out another mortgage on the house," was Raymond's solution. But no solution ever seemed to solve the main problem. Ethel was married to one of those dreamers who wakes up one day at the bottom of the heap, indebted and despondent, and there you are beside him. It was a whale of an argument that Ethel and Raymond had that last night, followed by a crushing silence that never lifted. The door between them was closed. It would never open again. For a little while longer, they went through the motions, but then were divorced. The smartest thing she ever did, Ethel's friends said. And it was just that last one deal that did it. If Raymond had only sold multi-mixers for the rest of his life, Ethel's confidence in him might have increased. Their marriage might have been spared if he'd only gone on selling multi-mixers. But Raymond was, as I say, an American dreamer. He was a man sold on the naive concept that if you work a little harder and a little longer than the next guy, and if you take enough risks in the right direction, one day he was sure he would be sitting on top of the world. I told you that Raymond spent most of his life selling multi-mixers. But the business deal that drove the final wedge between him and his wife, between Ethel and Ray Kroc, K-R-O-C, was the last risk Ray took. That was when she walked out on him, when he bought into a burgeoning hamburger franchise operation called McDonald's. And now you know the rest of the story.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The ongoing water dispute between Racine and Mount Pleasant saw movement this week. A City of Racine committee, under court order to review, approved water service for the Pike River Crossing residential project in Mount Pleasant. However, village officials say Racine continues to withhold approval for other new water hookups. The conflict stems from Mount Pleasant's claim that Racine is violating their utility agreements by denying approval for new water projects in the village. The city says with Foxconn jobs out of the picture, the water deal needs to be redone. Even though he pulled out of the race 2 months ago, the guy running against Robin Voss got 30% of the vote. Assembly Speaker Voss won that new 33rd Assembly District primary. He'll compete against Democrat Alan Kupsick and independent candidate Kelly Clark in November's general election. The ticket will take a trip up I-94. As Democrats gather for their national convention in Chicago, Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz plan to rally supporters in Milwaukee Tuesday. They'll be speaking at the Fiserv Forum. Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance will also make his presence felt in Milwaukee, speaking at the Police Association headquarters on Friday. And the Kenosha County Fair kicks off today. It runs through Sunday in Wilmot. Folks are looking forward to the crowning of the fairest of the fair, the rides, a truck and tractor pull, and of course the demo derby. The fair lineup is at KenoshaCOFair.com. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
College campuses are starting to come back to life across the state of Wisconsin. I'm Pam Yonke. Time for a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. And we're monitoring how the agriculture enrollment looks at many of our state colleges. Some updates next.
Beef producers, make plans now to attend the Stockmanship and Stewardship event in Lancaster on August 28th and 29th. This will be an action-packed agenda featuring topics from cattle health and well-being to pasture management and land stewardship, complemented by low-stress cattle handling demonstrations. From cow-calf to feedlot topics, it's covered and close to home. Go to www.stockmanshipandstewardship.org for more details and to register.
Tara Montgomery is the director of the School of Agriculture on the UW-Platteville Pioneer Prairie campus. She said right now they're expecting around 525 students for the fall term, which begins just weeks from now. She said many of those students already have some educational experience under their belts.
It's been really encouraging to see the number of students who have maybe started somewhere else and weren't really sure what they wanted to do and have found a focus in agriculture. Sometimes it's because they've had an experience maybe in an internship, or a lot of times it's because they weren't really sure that they wanted to go back to the farm and then started to realize that, you know, agriculture has a lot of cool technology and is really crucial. And so when we look at agriculture, it's amazing to think, you know, we're always going to have to feed the world, but we also have to think about things like sustainability. And so a lot of students are circling back around to figure out how can they help.
Tara Montgomery, she's the director of the School of Agriculture on the UW-Platteville campus with strong expectations for fall agriculture enrollment.
Learn how to benefit your farm with Compeer Financial's Navigating Tech Investments Agri-Mindset webinar on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Sign up online at compeer.com/register for this powerful webinar to benefit your farm on August 21st at 1 o'clock. Go to compeer.com/register now to get the most out of your farm's tech investments on August 21st. Compeer Financial is a full credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
and celebrating some of Wisconsin's machinery history. That's what's coming up this weekend for the 61st Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club Show that's going to be held just outside of Baraboo. They're hosting the J.I. Case Heritage Foundation 38th Annual Exposition. Find more details at badgersteamandgas.com. And don't forget, this is day number two of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, that big event happening in Cadott at the Country Fest Music Grounds. WIFarmTechDays.org has all the details on that big event. And that's a look at food news for Wednesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Partly cloudy today, becoming mostly cloudy by late this afternoon. Our high right around 80 today. The wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms late, 67. Tomorrow night, rain and thunderstorms likely. Rain could be heavy with an inch or more possible. Our high tomorrow, 77. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
I was in Target with my mom. She opened her wallet and all of her credit cards were individually wrapped in tinfoil. She unwraps one and hands it to me as if that's a completely normal exchange of information. I go, we're not going to talk about that. She goes, talk about what, Kathleen? I go, the tinfoil, Mom. She goes, well, obviously you have not been keeping up with the news. I said, no, I actually thought I had been. Well, then you must have missed the story about the ray gun people. There are people now, Kathleen, with computer ray guns, and they can shoot that ray gun through my purse, through my wallet, and they gather all of your personal information off of that strip on the back of your debit card. I thought, okay, my mom's not stupid. She was a nurse for a million years, so I called my friend, who's been a cop forever, and I asked him about the ray gun people and told him about the tinfoil. He said, what I do know from being a cop for 20 years is that crazy people love tinfoil. That is a fact. An old cop told me that. Always carry tinfoil in your squad card. If you come across someone who's mentally ill and having a psychotic break, just tear off a piece of tinfoil. You calmly walk over and go make a hat.
It's probably true. That's something. Before the break, we were talking about health care.
Yeah.
And now people are going to get health care,
right?
Because of this new center being put up. What did we do for seniors before Medicare? How did they get health care?
I mean, think about it. Before Medicare, before Social Security, seniors lived in abject poverty. I mean, that was really, there was no plan about what to do, right? And so they would rely on, you know, any savings they might have or the goodwill of their family or charity care through the community. But that was what we did in this country for a long time. So it's easy to forget how important Medicare and Social Security are in terms of just giving people some semblance of economic security after they retire. It's really important.
I asked my mother that once. My mother was a very smart woman. And I said to her, what did people do before health care and Social Security and things like that? She said they died.
Yeah.
I said, believe me, they died. They died. They died at 50 or 60 years old when they couldn't work anymore. And they didn't have any money coming. They just died.
Right.
I said, wow. She said the same thing. I said, I see all these pictures of people walking around New York City in the summertime with woolen dresses, woolen suits. I mean, they're in the middle of this heat. They had no air conditioning. What did they do? And she said they died.
Yeah.
I know you can't picture it today because we value life and we try to preserve it. That's just the way it was back then in the early part of the century. People just died and that was it. You didn't live that long. Yeah.
Well, and there's several reasons for it, but just the fact that we have health care for elderly people after they retire has been a big contributing factor about why people live longer in this country. Now, people stopping smoking as much has led to things, healthier lifestyles have led to longer lifestyles, but just access to basic health care is a big part of the reason people live longer in this country. So it is easy to forget, like, I mean, because it's been more than 50 years that it's been around, but there was a time when you retired, you were on your own. You were, you know, either had to have been fortunate enough to have been able to save enough money to do it or rely on the support of your family or your church or whatever might get you through. But yeah, your mom's not wrong. In some cases, if people just didn't have access to care, they just passed away.
You know, people say, oh, the good old days. We should go back to the good old days of the 1800s when you lived off the land. Those weren't the good old days. These are the good old days we're living right now. And it's hard to believe in 50 or 60 years from now when you and I are both gone, somebody's going to look back and say, how did they live in 2024? How did they make it?
Right. They actually had to look at their phones instead of
And have them planted right in the side of their head.
Whatever it's going to be.
Wow. So we had some new businesses downtown.
Yeah.
Five of them. We had Kelly Cruz was in from the DRC this week. Last week, talking about the new businesses, you know, downtowns across America are on the decline. Not here. Every time you turn around, there's a new business coming
in. Yeah, it's been really exciting. So part of two of the businesses that we had an event at the King Center later that night, so I couldn't be there for all the ribbon cuttings on the August 2nd there. But yeah, so the Chart Rooms reopened, I think people have seen. But then the other restaurant just by the bridge there has now been reopened as the Bridge Tender.
Yeah.
And it's this sort of really great sort of space where you can come up and, you know, order a beer right from the window there and order some food and sit there right on the patio and, you know, overlook the river and watch the boats come and go. It's a great space. And then you can now rent, you can rent jet skis or paddle boards or paddle boats right there too. So there's another business that opened up to do that. So if you're down there and you think, you know, I'd really like to go out on a paddle boat and look at the river and go out to Lake Michigan for a bit and see what that's like, you can do that there as well. So it's two great additions to the downtown, just on the other side of the bridge, north of the downtown. And, you know, people really miss the Chart Room and that being around. So to have both the Chart Room and the Bridge Tender there, the Kaiser family purchased that land and are bringing it back. So it's exciting to see that. And then a couple other new businesses right downtown.
Bookstore.
Yeah, bookstore and sort of an arts and crafts sort of space. Yeah. So that's great. And, you know, I do remember having like Martha Merrill's, speaking of things that used to be there.
Right? Here we go again.
Yeah. But I think it just adds a lot to a downtown to have a bookstore, right? I mean, there's just just something that's just added there. If there's a bookstore, you can go in and browse and look at old books and think about things and you know, remember that novel you read or it just adds a lot of atmosphere to the space to be able to do that. So we wish all of them very well. But yeah, it's exciting to see people still seeing businesses thrive in the downtown. And we had First Friday last week that went, by all accounts, very successful. A lot of people down. And so we're really excited about it.
Kelly was telling me that the Ivanhoe has this soup, and I forget the name of it. They called it Lambeau Stew, I think. Lambeau Stew. It's got brats and cheese soup. I got to go and try that.
It sounds about as Wisconsin. They should just call it Wisconsin soup.
It sounds like it's about 3 million calories, but it sounds good. That's your meal for the month.
There you go.
Now, there's a special event coming up tomorrow morning in North Beach right here.
This morning.
Oh, yeah. It's this morning. So tomorrow morning. This is this morning. Okay.
Yeah. So we are really lucky to have some amazing lifeguards that work at North Beach and Zoo Beach this year. We've worked very hard to recruit enough lifeguards to be able to do that work. And, you know, every year we will get people who wind up swimming in the areas that aren't guarded, that aren't safe. But we've had lifeguards save several people already this year. Have to go into the water and actually rescue them and do that work. We actually had one drowning. But those lifeguards do amazing work. They're out there every day trying to keep people safe. And so this morning we're going to honor the work that they did and the lives that they've saved. And it's just really, I mean, these are young people. These are, you know,
I know,
high school, college students that are, you know, trained to do this work. It's dangerous work. And so we really want to honor the work that they've done there. And then just one public safety announcement, like, please, if you go down by the water, please only swim in the areas by the lifeguards. Those areas by the breakwater there have a huge undertow, and it's really dangerous to be there. So when the signs say don't swim here, we really mean
everybody thinks it can't happen to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I was a little kid, we used to go to Jones Beach and Rockaway Beach in Queens, where I lived. And on Rockaway Beach one day, I was a little kid, and I turned around to look at my mother to see where she was. Because when you're in the water, you drift down.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find her. And all of a sudden, a wave came over me and took me. And I remember to this day, I couldn't have been more than 6 years old, 7 years old. I was spinning all around in the water. I had my eyes open. And I was sucking in the water. I was trying to cough underwater. And I was petrified. And the whole thing took about 15 seconds, 10 seconds at most. And I was flipping around and nobody noticed. And all of a sudden, I just got up. I was on the sand, you know, on the beach. And I was petrified. I didn't tell my mother because I'd never be back at the beach again as long as I lived.
Right.
But It just can grab you.
It can. Those undertows can be really
painful. And I don't care what kind of swimmer you are. Yeah. If you're stuck in there,
yeah,
swim by lifeguards because they're watching.
They are. So, we've invested a lot of money to keep those beaches safe, but you still get people who want to swim, in the unguarded areas. So we have Zoo Beach and North Beach that are both guarded. It's almost, a full mile of a beach that you can enjoy. So we just plead with people, please stay in the guarded areas. But again, really hats off to those lifeguards that have worked so hard to save those lives this year. And they really deserve our respect and our thanks. And, also the Parks Department and the Fire Department now work much more closely together to make sure we're keeping those folks safe. But the most important thing that people can do is please stay in the guarded areas. We want people to come down to the beach. We want people to enjoy Lake Michigan. It's one of the best beaches on the Great Lakes. I would argue the best beach on the Great Lakes. But we need people to be safe when they do. And we offer our thanks to the lifeguards who've worked so hard to keep us safe and save lives this year.
I had Beth Heidorn, executive director of the Racine Zoo, on yesterday. And we're talking about a city the size of Racine generally doesn't get their own zoo.
Yeah.
Usually that's reserved for Milwaukee, San Diego, Los Angeles, Chicago, the Bronx. I mean, it's just, and it's a wonderful zoo. They have Slumber Night coming up. You know what that is?
I do. They
have you get to sleep out at the zoo with the animals.
Yeah.
Keep your eye open. See if there's a lion roaming around, a giraffe sneaking up on you, a zebra. Yeah. And
those gibbons sing in the morning, too.
When I used to walk my dog on the right on the lakefront by North Beach, you can hear the lions roaring in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear them in the morning. I can't do a lion roar, but you can hear them.
Yeah.
And my dog ears would go up.
Yeah.
I heard a lion roar. I better run and leave you here. But what a gem to have in our city.
Oh, and think about it. Again, we're a city of, 75,000 to 80,000 people, and
have your own zoo.
Have your own zoo. We have 5 community centers. We have 2 museums. The county runs the history museum, the heritage museum. So yeah, we're pretty blessed to have the resources that we do. We need to care for them and invest in them. But yeah, we're pretty fortunate to be able to have those things.
And the Racine Concert Band for 102 years.
They're great, right? It's walk in completely free, walk in and enjoy a great Racine Concert
Band. We just had our last concert the other day, and you were the star of one of our concerts this year.
That was such an honor to do that Lincoln piece.
Were you nervous? Copeland.
I was, actually. I practiced it quite a bit. I mean, I'll be honest. It was, I was really thankful for YouTube that weekend because I could sort of watch other performers do it and make sure I had the cadence right. But the concert band was very gracious and helped me time it through it just right.
So good.
It's a great honor.
Mayor Corey Mason, thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
Love to have you in here once a month. Excellent. And thank you to your staff, Ellen and Sean, who I pester, and they arrange this and they give me all the notes. They do a good job, too.
Glad to do it.
You got a good staff there. Thank you. His honor, Racine Mayor Corey Mason. Hey, we've got more local news, Townless Hits coming up. You keep it here at WRJN Radio.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
She posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Bianna's bespoke skincare line.
She has 147 million followers. How do we monetize?
She needs a social media associate to help her with the hype.
We should repost this. Do we need a hashtag?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
America's most respected newscaster of the 20th century and beyond had his home on WRJN for 56 years, and he was proud to be here. Listen.
With all of the changes in the broadcasting industry, mergers and new owners, shuffled formats and automation, it is nice today to salute the call letters and the principles and the policies of WRJN in Racine.
Now you can hear archived episodes of Paul Harvey and the rest of the story twice each weekday on WRJN at 7:25 in the morning with Don Rosen and at 12:05 with Cindy Hubert. Not only timeless hits, but now timeless wisdom from Paul Harvey on
WRJN in Racine.
Today's WRJN Big Deal of the Day, 50% savings at the Peach Cobbler Factory in Kenosha. We forget to hit the pause button in the hustle of daily life. Slow down for a sweet treat, mouth-watering cobbler crowned with luscious vanilla bean ice cream. Or shake up your taste buds with a pudding shake. Or indulge in freshly baked cookies, brownies, and cinnamon rolls. Go to WRJN.com, click on the Big Deals tab, purchase $10 gift certificates for just $5 today only at WRJN Big Deals.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Listen, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make got my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
We're looking for sunshine all day today with a high near 80. Cloudy chance of showers tonight, lows 69. Showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. Right now, sunny and 67 degrees in Radio Park at WRJN.
Pretty woman, walking down the street. Pretty woman, the kind I like to meet. Pretty woman, I don't believe you. You're not the truth. No one could. Yeah.
need you, I'll treat you right. Come with me, baby, be mine tonight.
So this guy caught his wife having an affair. He spotted her with another man on a park bench on Google Maps Street View. I guess he was suspecting something was going on, so we checked it out. There she was with another guy. They're getting a divorce now. Nah, you gotta love Google, huh? It's 7:56 at WRJN. Local news and timeless hits with the Spinners. Spinners, could it be I'm falling in love? WRJN, local news, timeless hits. Local. And now let's check news from CBS here at the top of the hour. It's exactly 8 o'clock.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by T-Mobile.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Tropical Storm Ernesto is bashing Puerto Rico, where hundreds of thousands of people have no power this morning. Correspondent Manuel Bojorquez reports.
Overnight, Tropical Storm Ernesto slammed Puerto Rico's east coast, packing with it heavy rains, flash flooding, and sustained